Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard, your host from FanRag Sports and NDTScouting.com. No Trevor Sikkema today, but the Broncos are on the clock in the War Room, inside the War Room series. If you guys haven't followed along, last couple days, go back and listen to the pods. Browns and Giants are on Monday. On Tuesday, we had the New York Jets and the Cleveland Browns on the clock, guys. It was some crazy picks and some crazy conversations surrounding those choices as well. Today, we got Ben Albright talking to us about the Broncos pick. Ben, thanks so much for coming on the show, my man, and stepping into the GM shoes as a general manager of the Denver Broncos today.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, for sure. I know that Inside the Pylon kicked off this idea years ago, and I remember you and I both have participated in that one, and felt it was cool to kind of carry on the tradition and continue to do this, because I think that it's been, it's a really cool type of project, and we've had a ton of fun with it as well with everybody we've brought on the show. So curious, I know Denver's on the clock, and for people who missed the last couple episodes, Sam Darnold went off the board number one to the Browns. Giants went off the board, or Saquon Barkley went off the board number two to the Giants. Josh Rosen to the Jets at number three, and Bradley Chubb to the Browns at number four. So that puts the Broncos on the clock. Without even getting into maybe specifics at this point, Ben, with Darnold, Barkley, Rosen, Chubb off the board, if this scenario plays out in real life for the Broncos, how are you feeling at this point?
Well, I think you're feeling like things played out pretty much how you expected. At this point in time, I think that, if you're looking at it, three of those players in real life will be gone by this point in time. And Barkley will probably still be on the board, but you may have another quarterback gone, in real life. But if you're dealing with this the way it is, I think you're pretty happy. Somebody took Saquon Barkley a little early, and that's going to give you some flexibility at five, whether you've got a team that wants to come up and trade up to get their quarterback, whether you want to take a quarterback, or whether you want a skilled position player. Mm-hmm. So I think the Giants made a mistake at two, and I think that makes it so much better for the Broncos.
If Saquon Barkley were to fall, hypothetically, I know he isn't in this situation, but if he were in the real draft to fall and be there at number five, and maybe the quarterbacks are gone, or there's a situation where Denver doesn't like whatever quarterback may be left at that point, how strongly do you think they consider Saquon Barkley at number five?
I don't think they consider him at all. They've got C.J. Anderson on the roster. They're trying to get leverage into a pay cut. They've got two young guys that they really feel really good about, and D'Angelo Henderson and Devontae Booker. So I don't think that he would be in their sights at all.
Very interesting and good to know, because, had that situation played out, I feel the same as you, but it was curious to me if that situation had played out. I knew you weren't going to go Barkley, but I know a lot of Broncos fans may not be clamoring for him in that situation. So Darnold, Barkley, Rose, and Chubb off the board in this spot. We know about the quarterbacks in Denver and what could be the possibilities for the Broncos there. What do you feel like outside of the quarterbacks at number five, given who's on the board here, and you've already dismissed Barkley, even if he were on the board, who are the other players that the Broncos would be considering at number five?
Well, you'd be considering a trade back, potentially with a Buffalo. That would put you right in line to grab a corner with that first pick, and maybe guard Will Hernandez with that second. You'd be considering Quentin Nelson heavily. Mm-hmm. If you were to not move. Other than that, it'd be one of the quarterbacks, I think. I don't really think that the safeties or the corners, I think it's too early to take them. So I think that when you look at what's left, Roquan Smith, Harold Landry, Davenport, Marcus Davenport, mm-hmm. those guys, it's all probably a little too early for them too. So I think in the end, it's really comes down to, do you like one of the two quarterbacks? If not, do you have a trade back partner? If not, Quentin Nelson.
Quentin Nelson comes to the Broncos. Is he playing left guard or right guard? Because I know Ronald Leary played right guard some last year, and there was talk, he's more natural. He's a better player at left guard. Let's talk about them moving him back there. What do they do if they have both of those guys on the roster?
Well, you'd move Ron Leary back to left guard, which is his natural position. And that kind of gives you a veteran paired with a younger player along that line. You'd have Bowles paired next to Leary, which gives you a veteran next to a younger guy. Paradis in the middle. Then you'd have Quentin Nelson on the right side, Jared Valdir at the right tackle. That would sandwich your rookies around some veterans, give them some experience there, and I think really shore up a line that's been a severe problem for Denver for the last three or four years.
You look at John Elway going into this draft, and it's no secret that he's had some issues in the past couple drafts. He hasn't hit on as many picks as he'd like. He makes, right now, Paxton Lynch looks like a miss. Obviously, not totally counting him out yet at this point, but right now, so far, at least, it looks like a miss. Hasn't been a ton of positives for him to point toward. Do you feel like he feels the pressure to just make sure this quarterback situation's fixed? Or is it more of a pressure of, we got to get this offensive line right so we can rely on the run game, protect who's ever there, quarterback, and do those kinds of things? Which do you think it is, or is there no pressure at all for him?
I think there's some pressure. Obviously, they went out and paid, you know, some money for Case Keenum. So there's definitely some pressure there. But I think they feel like that, you know, that Case gives them an interim option that's at least serviceable until they can figure it out. You know, Elway has been really good with hitting on free agents in the later part of the draft. He's just struggled at the early part of the draft, you know, his entire tenure at Denver. So he really needs to make those early picks count. And once he starts making those early picks count, then he can round that out. But he's been really good at finding undrafted free agent guys like Chris Harris or Shaquille Barrett, been good at bringing in free agents, whether that was Tlaib, you know, Ware, Emmanuel Sanders, guys like that. He certainly brought in plenty of free agents. So I think really needs to hit on this early pick this year.
Right. So I think we speak pretty confidently saying we feel like Sam Darnold will be off the board in real life at this point in the process. Let's pretend for a second Josh Rosen isn't off the board and that he is available. You line up the quarterbacks in this class in Denver and the way they fit and what you've heard, at least, or what you think you've heard about what their Broncos' plans are in the draft. Which of these quarterbacks, in your mind, makes the most sense for the Broncos when you're talking about a fit? Is it Rosen, despite the fact that he's off the board, or a developmental guy like Josh Allen, or somebody like Baker Mayfield, you know, kind of a gunslinging mentality, but also very efficient at the same time? Who do you think fits the best in what Denver does?
Well, I think the guy that makes the most sense is Baker Mayfield. You got a guy who's identical in size to Case Keenum, comes out of that same part of the country. You know, he's a guy who's a little bit brash and maybe needs to be reined in with his personality a little bit. Case is kind of the opposite guy, a quiet, unassuming guy who leads by example. And so I think, you know, if there was ever a veteran mentorship program, Case Keenum, this cookie cutter, you know, guy for Baker Mayfield. They even come out of similar offenses down there. So where Case was in an air raid, and, you know, Lincoln Riley likes to run some RPO. There's some air raid concepts in there. It's wide open type stuff. So, you know, I think Baker Mayfield's probably the best fit overall. I know Gary Kubiak likes him a lot. You know, Elway's a big fan of Josh Allen. Of course, that reminds him of him. But, you know, that's another 2-year project, and you already whiffed on your last first round two-year project in Paxton Lynch. So you got to be careful of that.
Right. Do you think that, you know, just the risk factor, like you said, but the element of the unknown with Josh Allen, even though he may like him and he may see some of himself in him, you know, that element of the unknown, do you feel like that might be enough that even if Allen is on the board at number 5, which I know seems unlikely, but in this scenario, if he is on the board number 5, you know, do you feel like that might be enough to make Denver go in another direction just because of that risk factor so high, that development still needed? I know they have a guy in place, but you're, like you said, you already went through this with Paxton Lynch, and if now you've got two of those guys that didn't really work out that you took in the first round, that's really going to be a big blemish on the record.
Yeah, I just think that it's a, you know, it comes down to whether or not Josh Allen sells him on, you know, I've got the ability to become this great player that people envision that I can become. Mm-hmm. If you can sell him on that, then you know, then you take him. If not, then, you know, you take one of the other guys. And I think that's ultimately how it plays out. I'm not a big fan of Allen and his prospects. I see another, you know, Kyle Bowler or Jake Locker type, you know, big arm, but, you know, struggles to accurately throw the football, and it's probably going to stay that way in the pro game. Guys don't magically get better at placing the football when the competition gets stiffer.
Right. Yeah, no, 100% agree. So we've got guard, a trade down situation, or one of the two quarterback options that are still on the board. We haven't really mentioned Lamar Jackson, but consider him, throw him under into this conversation as well if you want. But I know that that looking at all these different options, trading down in this situation for the Inside the War Room series can't really be an option without the logistics of moving everybody around and scheduling the shows and such. But so given that, in this situation, you've got Quentin Nelson or the quarterbacks on the board. Who's going to be the pick at number 5 for the Denver Broncos?
Well, this imaginary scenario really came down to two players for me. Obviously, we talked about Quentin Nelson. Since I can't trade back, that's not realistic. We're considering one of the quarterbacks here, Baker Mayfield. I think if it were me personally pulling the gun, I would take Baker Mayfield. I know people are going to say that I've been hyping the guy, I got a bias and all that kind of. All things being equal, looking at what's best for the team, I think we go ahead and pull the trigger on Quentin Nelson, probably the best player in this draft, and shore up that line for years to come.
Wow. Yeah. And Quentin Nelson in this offense, Bill Musgrave's obviously been heralded for a long time about what he's done in the run game and the things of that. How do you like his fit for them schematically? And also, do you think it would be something that says a lot about the mentality of the offensive line? I mean, they got a guy like Garrett Bowles. Like, there's no secret about what Garrett Bowles, the physicality, the nastiness that he brings to the game. Leary's got some of that as well. Do you feel like a guy like Nelson just continues to revamp the cultural kind of imprint that this offensive line has in Denver?
Well, yeah, and they've needed that for years. It's been a finesse line for years. They haven't really had a lot of power, a lot of nasty to them. Now you got Garrett Bowles, you got Ron Leary, you got Matt Paradis, you add Quentin Nelson, and then Jared Veldheer is another guy that's just like that. So, like I said, I think you finally got a serviceable starting five for the first time in 4 years.
And Case Keenum's presence on the roster, that makes you feel comfortable enough where you're stepping away from the quarterback position at number five.
Well, we're going to give it a shot. If Case fails miserably, we're going to be able to pick in the early stuff next year. And if he doesn't, then we've got our guy and we continue to roll. So
Absolutely.
I think it's a flip of the coin there. It's just a scenario where, I, as much as I want Baker Mayfield, and I would absolutely advise anyone to take him there. I'm going to go ahead and take Quentin Nelson just because, looking long term, if Case doesn't pan out, well, we're going to be picking right back here anyway.
Right. Yeah, true. And that offensive line now becomes, it goes from an area with a lot of question marks, more answers after last season, but still some question marks, to a really promising unit with a guy like Quentin Nelson. It's really hard to argue with the pick, but the quarterbacks are sliding now a little bit in the inside the war room mock draft. So it's been a lot of fun to see kind of how the thought process has gone in. But man, you've got Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen off the board, but still two of the quarterbacks expect to go top five, sliding down the board a little bit. So it may not be what happens in real life, but that's part of what makes this fun, is everybody's kind of got a little imprint, get a little bit of a mindset, at least in terms of what they want to do with the team, what direction they feel like is best for where the team is at that moment. So going to be fun stuff, going to make the rest of these picks really, really interesting. Ben, thanks so much for your time, my man. I really appreciate you jumping on, giving us your perspective on all things Broncos.
No problem at all.
There he goes, Ben Albright, ladies and gentlemen. Follow him on Twitter at Albright. That's A-L-L, Bright NFL. Make sure you guys give him a follow. Tons of great information this time of year. Tons of good commentary on the draft process, teams, players. Lots of great reports as well in terms of what's going on out there in the draft world. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Colts are picking Stephen Holder up to pick for the Colts. This is going to be, talk about an important pick for the Colts. They traded down. They got to nail this one. A lot of good players on the board for them. So be interested to see what he has to say on the Inside the War Room series on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. Welcome back inside Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard from FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting with you. We are up with the Colts on the clock at number six. For those of you who are just tuning in or just catching up, number one, Sam Darnold went off the board to the Cleveland Browns. Number two, Saquon Barkley to the New York Giants. John Schmielk made that pick. Joe Caparoso and Connor Rogers jumped in to take Josh Rosen off the board, the UCLA quarterback, at number three. Number four, the Cleveland Browns were back up. Nathan Zagora made his second pick, and he comes up with Bradley Chubb from defensive end from NC State. Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame. Ben Albright takes him off the board at number five to Denver. Now we have the Indianapolis Colts up on the board, and Stephen Holder, Colts reporter for the Indy Star, has joined us. Stephen, how are you? Thanks so much for taking the time, my man.
My pleasure, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So here we are, Colts situation, and for teams that need a quarterback, this is like dream scenario, right? Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, they're off the board, but guys like Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson still on the board. A lot of good options here for the Colts, or for other teams, but for the Colts, this might be worst case scenario, right? Saquon Barkley, Bradley Chubb, Quentin Nelson off the board. Is this time where, I know it might not be practical in this type of a format, but is this maybe where the Colts look to perhaps trade back?
Yeah, I actually think this is exactly the scenario where the trade possibility becomes real for the Colts. And you know, I don't think they're looking to make a trade going into the draft as they did a few weeks ago, obviously, in swapping with the Jets 3 and 6. That's not what I think is going to happen. But if a scenario plays out on draft night where they can't get what they ideally want, and everything that I've heard indicates what they ideally want is one of Saquon Barkley, Bradley Chubb, or Quentin Nelson. Now, if they can't get one of those three preferred position players, then I think trading down might become a realistic option for them. And if this scenario holds, the one that's playing out here in our mock, then you're going to have a situation where quarterbacks are on the board, as you said, and I think now your pick becomes more valuable to the teams below you, and hopefully you start getting some calls if you're the Colts. So I think it's not ideal. It's not what they want, but I think it could also be an opportunity potentially. So this could be a really intriguing situation for the Colts, and whether they see it as good or bad, I guess it depends on what kind of offers they would get.
Right, and I think we both think that in real life it's likely that three quarterbacks are gone, and that would leave one of these three guys that they have a target on, either Barkley or Chubb or Nelson, one of those three guys you've heard they're interested in, that would leave one of them available. Let's say this scenario does play out, though. Like you said, Colts, you know, not the worst situation ever for them, even though it's not, wouldn't be maybe their first, second, or third option, still a situation that can work for them because they have so many needs, right? This is a roster that is generally being rebuilt from the area that Ryan Gregson left it in, and it could be beneficial to them to be able to stockpile picks, especially if a team gets desperate for a quarterback, right?
Well, right, exactly. You hit it on the head when you talk about stockpiling picks, because they're in a mode of pick accumulation right now. That's really their goal. And one of the things that people in the organization have echoed to me about the initial trade they made with the Jets is that it gave them, over the next two drafts, this year and next year, they now have, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to have 5 second-round picks. Right. So that is, I mean, just all kinds of ammunition right there to really replenish your roster. They didn't have a lot of young players in their pipeline, really not at all, you know, coming out of the last several years. So one thing Chris Ballard has tried to do is just go out there and accumulate picks, sign a bunch of college free agents, and it's not pretty, right? I mean, the results weren't good last year, but they were 4-12, and obviously Andrew Luck's absence had a lot to do with that. But certainly playing a lot of young guys was one big factor in that. And he's just willing at this point, I think the Colts are willing to just let that play out, let those guys develop and deal with what happens in the interim. So this is not the worst scenario in the world for the Colts. If they're able to now add to that pick total, really they're looking at this as sort of a 2-year window here to really get those young players in the pipeline, get them developed, and start getting them acclimated to the new schemes under Coach Frank Reich. So, you know, as I said, it could play into their plan to some extent if this were to play out.
Absolutely. And I think that we're obviously adhering to the rules of this mock draft and this, you know, inside the war room scenario and how things have played out here. But let's say hypothetically, Stephen, that the Colts look up at number 6, and let's say hypothetically in this situation, Barkley, Chubb, and Nelson would all be available to the Colts at number 6 in a reverse scenario, just to give fans an idea of maybe where they could prioritize if something a little more probable plays out in reality. Who do you think that they would favor out of those three guys if all three of them happen to be on the board at number 6?
So I actually think that Barkley is probably number three out of the three. Even though I think he could easily be the most talented, I just don't think for their purposes that is a priority, that running back position. Especially if you look at Frank Reich and his offense, look at what the Eagles have done. They haven't really done it. It's going to be a very Eagles-like offense. I mean, they haven't really done it with the superstar running back, you know, with Doug Peterson's team. It's been sort of by committee, and they can kind of make guys work within the framework of their scheme. I think Frank Reich's going to do the same thing in Indianapolis. So I don't see Barkley as being a guy who's a big priority for them, you know, if we're talking about that particular scenario. So that leaves Chubb and Nelson. And then, look, I think you could flip a coin here. I really think they're enamored with both players. Nelson is the guy who I think from day one is obviously most ready to jump in and be a factor for them. Chubb, I think, can be as well, but there's going to be I think we're going to find out whether he acclimates as quickly as maybe a guy like Nelson. That position can be difficult for some guys to acclimate, right? And
true.
And to have immediate success. So we'll have to see, you know, with that edge rusher position. I'd say, look, for me, I think Chubb is a guy you have to go with here just because it's so much harder to fill that edge rush position
right.
at this level. And the Colts in particular, they've been a team that just have failed miserably in their efforts to do that. So I just think for them and for their purposes and where they want to be long term, they got to have some pass rush. They feel like they've addressed and they have some young talent on the interior of their defensive line. They really don't have a go-to edge rusher right now. So maybe they can find that in Bradley Chubb.
Yeah, no, it's a terrific point because I think you're absolutely right. It's so hard to replicate what that edge rusher position can give you. And you look at so many great defenses around the league and they've got one, two, maybe three of those guys. I mean, look at the Colts or look at the Eagles last year, you know, so I think that's a terrific point. Okay, we have to talk about this scenario. I know it seems crazy. It almost makes me sick to even talk about because I've been such an Andrew Luck fan, but we have to at least address it. He spoke today, press conference. It's clear that not everything is 100% still with him. Really tough to kind of tell which direction things are moving. There's been a lot of lingering questions around his health situation. I know it seems unlikely, but any chance the Colts consider a quarterback with their first round pick or, you know, by trading back, does that signal, among other things, that they're totally out of the quarterback market?
Yeah, they are, at least with their first round pick, for sure. Yeah, that I can tell you just from conversations I've had. And in fact, they haven't even really tried to hide it. I remember Frank Reich at the owners' meetings recently saying, I told Ryan if four quarterbacks go before us. And he said, in fact, he said, I encourage other teams, go ahead, go get those guys. They're all great. And I mean, he was joking, but he wasn't joking. I mean, right. They want their pick of the position players
right.
because they're just not in it for the quarterback this year. So I've had those conversations on the record, off the record, and they've been entirely consistent on that point. So I just don't think it's in the cards, and I don't think it's something they spend any time really evaluating for the most part. Like, for example, at the NFL Combine, they had no official meetings with any of the quarterbacks,
right.
for example. And that doesn't rule it out, but I think it gives you an indication that, you know, if you were in the market,
right.
meeting with some of them, right?
Right. So exactly.
That's just an indication, I think, right there, another indication.
Right. No, I think you're 100% right. If you're going for a quarterback, you're visiting with them, you're bringing them in for workouts, you're going to their hometown, meeting their family, you know, there's a huge process to it. And, you know, they really haven't shown any interest pre-draft, but I know some fans might have some questions about it, might want to hear about it. I know the chatter is going to pick up, of course, just because Luck spoke today and there are some uncertainties, but 100% with you. So let's look at the options, the realistic options that are on the board for the Colts at this situation. Pass rusher's still a need. Harold Landry's still on the board. Obviously, linebacker's been a need for the Colts. There's been some talk, and I can't remember who said it, and you probably remember or know, but that the Colts will be looking to basically overhaul their inside linebacker position. Essentially, a lot of that may be happening through the draft. So obviously, a ton of good options there. Roquan Smith, Tremaine Edmonds, Leighton Vander Esch, if you like him, maybe this high. You know, there could be some good options for the Colts at those spots. You know, the secondary needs help. You almost can't go wrong in terms of a position and need for the Colts. Where do you think the priorities lie? Maybe even just a position group where the priorities lie for the Colts at number 7.
Well, with what's on the board here, I tell you, what pops out for me, what jumps out is defensive playmaking. That's what they need, and that's what they lack, and they have lacked. So, and one thing that I would tell you, I think Chris Ballard, their GM, one thing that makes him a little bit predictable is that he always tries to replicate things that have or experiences that have been successful with him in the past and other places that he's worked. He always cites past examples that he's been privy to in places that he's worked, in Chicago and Kansas City and what have you. And one particular situation that he has talked about numerous times is getting Brian Urlacher in Chicago with the Chicago Bears and what that did for their defense. And I got to tell you, that just brings to mind for me, you know, Tremaine Edmonds and the kind of playmaker he has been and can be. He's just so intriguing. Now, I know you could argue that 6 is a little high for him, obviously, right? I mean, I think most mocks probably have him a little later, I guess, but I haven't done a poll. But I think for the Colts and what they need that could be very valuable for them. And again, if it works out and he is what they hope he might be, then he's not overdrafted, right? I mean, it's actually just what they need, and he fills a need for them and does it better. So Tremaine Evans, for me, I think is just really, really appealing right there. And I think that pick is something that would make the Colts really stop and take stock of that particular opportunity.
Right. Why Tremaine Edmonds over a guy like Roquan Smith? I'm just curious. You know, like you said, the Urlacher comparisons is just a size thing, you think, coupled with that athleticism upside of kind of evolving as the roster evolves in Indianapolis?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Roquan Smith argument is speed. And they want, now Tremaine Evans is no slouch, right? I mean, he's as fast as they come too. So I just think with Tremaine Evans, if you're trying to figure out what sets him apart, I know that the Colts and their scouting process, one thing that they tend to look for is some sort of trait that really sets the guy apart from his counterparts. And I guess with Evans, you could say size is that trait. And to not lose the athleticism and the speed, and yet to have that size and to be a physical guy, which is something Frank Reich has really talked about, you know, setting a physical demeanor. You know, they could find themselves an enforcer there. And I think for a young defense, you need a tone setter, and maybe he can be that kind of guy. So, I think it's really just a matter of preference. I mean, I think they're both wonderful players,
right?
But I think if you ask me that question, that would be my answer. You know, he may have just a little more that sets him apart, at least in the eyes of a team like the Colts, who are looking for that trait that makes the difference.
Right. So you talked about playmaking on the defense. And last question before we get to the pick, but Harold Landry, a pass rusher, you know, tons of big production, was hurt last year, still had some productive games, but wasn't the same player when he was banged up as he was when he was fully healthy. The defensive backs, the safeties, Micah Fitzpatrick, Derwin James, maybe a Denzel Ward. Too high for all those guys? Do you think any of them get considered if this scenario plays out?
Well, you know, with Fitzpatrick, for one, they took the safety last year. I'm not saying that rules it out, but I do think that makes it obviously much more, much less likely. But I think, you know, were it not for them drafting Malik Hooker last year, this might be a different conversation. As it relates to Landry, you know, look, I guess, look, they still have the possibility of trading down, right? Yeah. So then a lot more guys obviously come into play and come into that argument. But look, I think with the Colts, I think they're going to look for a sure thing there. I'm not saying he's not a sure thing, but that is, I think most people would say that's a little high. Remember, this is a team that still has, you know, two picks in the top five in the second round. So they have options, you know, not too far down. They can always trade back into the first round, for example. So I don't think there's any need for them to reach. You know, I know we overuse that word, but there's no need for them to do that, not when they have those three second rounders.
Sure. Absolutely. Good points all across the board. It's a tough roster to address, and especially in like a 15-minute time frame, but you did it really well. So here we are. We're at number seven. The Colts are on the board. Number six, I'm sorry. The Colts are on the board. Steven Holder, you're making the pick for the Indianapolis Colts as their general manager. Who are you taking at number six?
So I'm going to go with Tremaine Evans. Nice. I just think, as I said, the defensive playmaking there, that is something that was so lacking last year. You know, who's that guy who can make that play when your defense just needs someone to step up and I think just take command? And he is that guy. He has been that guy, at least in college. And I think, as I said, the Urlacher parallel there, I think, is something that will be very compelling for Chris Ballard at their GM.
Yeah, really, really good stuff and really interesting points about Ballard. I tend to think that's extremely true, as the general managers tend to draw from their past experiences and draft within profiles, both physical, athletic, you know, production-wise, in terms of things that they've really seen work before. So I think that's a great point and actually gives me some things to think about when I'm cultivating my next mock draft. He is Steven Holder, ladies and gentlemen, Colts reporter for the Indy Star. You can follow him on Twitter, at HolderSteven with a PH. Steven, thank you so much for your time, my man. Great stuff talking with you. Great learning about the Colts roster and a terrific pick for Indianapolis as well.
Hey, my pleasure. It was fun.
Awesome. We will roll on with the Locked On NFL Draft Inside the War Room mock draft as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers come off the board, and Scott Reynolds is picking for them from PeterReport.com. So excited to hear from Scott and excited to hear what the Bucs are going to do as we continue our series. Until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.